Welcome to our discussion of Seder as covenant. If we think of the Seder, we think of it as a ritualistic meal, a time when we get together with the family. It's a yuntiv meal. It's a simcha. What about thinking of the meal as the establishment and the continuity of our covenant with God? We know that when people establish covenants, they eat together. Yisro, when Yisro came to meet with Moshe, and they made some sort of covenant. After all, when we went to attack certain people in Tanakh, we said, V'yasar ha-keni mitoch Amalek. When we were attacking the Amalek, we asked the keni, the relatives of Yitro, to get out because we had a deal with Yitro. And when Sisra came to attack, the Yael was from Chever ha-keni. She was from the good family, and she protected the Jews. We have a covenant with the Jethro people. So the Moshe and Aaron, Vayavo Aaron, Imchotein Moshe, Lecholechem Imchotein Moshe Lefnei Elokim, that Moshe, Aaron, and the elders came with Jethro to eat in front of God. That was a covenant, a covenantal meal. We know that Yitzchak, when the Philistines came to him and said, hey, we want to make Nechuchta Brit Itach, we want to make a covenant with you. End of Parsha Toldot, they made a mishteh. Yitzchak made them a mishteh, a banquet, and they ate and they drank. That's how you make a covenant over a good meal. Nowadays, sometimes you want to make a deal with a company or what? Two business partners, they get together at a nice restaurant, they have a beautiful meal together, and then they seal the deal. At Mount Sinai, we were making a covenant with God. Vayochlu vayishtu. Strangely enough, we have some of the elders of Israel, the children or whatever it was, Nadav and Avihu, some of the Kohanim, they saw God and they ate and they drank. What are they eating and drinking at Mount Sinai? What's going on? It's not a time for eating and drinking. No, it is. When you have a covenant, you eat and you drink. Now, when Moshe wanted to solidify the covenant of God from the Ten Commandments with the Jews, on the same day, perhaps, when he gave them the Ten Commandments, the end of Parshat Mishpatim, he took Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam. Moshe took half the blood. Vayasam Maganot. He put them in troughs, and he sprinkled it on the Jews. And Chatzi Adam Zerachem Mizbeach. And half the blood he put on the altar. Half the blood you split when you have covenant. You have food. There's also the idea of splitting things. What do we have? Think about it. You put the blood on this mezuzah and that mezuzah, and then you're not allowed to pass through. But eventually, when the day's over, in the morning, you pass through the two mezuzahs. It's a suggestion. It's a possibility that there's a bit of splitting there. We know that when the Jews entered Israel, they wanted to renew the covenant with God, with Joshua. So they stood on two mountains, and a lot of the people stood in between the mountains. And by standing on two mountains, that's also a covenant. You cut a deal. Even in English, you cut a deal. Obviously, the bris milah, the most famous covenant, is a bris, a child of circumcision. What do? Cut the foreskin. There's cutting involved. So the Jews split into two. The blood split into two. Jacob is going to meet Esau. They're kind of making a deal. Perhaps you could argue that they're not just a confrontation and a battle, but also a deal. And what does he do? He split the family in two. Perhaps that is also a case of splitting for a covenant. If you look in the morning davening, it says, God made a covenant. He cut a covenant. He cut a covenant. To what? To give us the land of Israel. And then what happened? And he split the sea. Isn't it obvious that the splitting of the sea and the Jews passing through it is the same as when Avraham is cutting the original deal, the Brit Bein HaBetarim, the covenant between the parts. He took a bunch of animals and birds, split them, cut them in half. He chopped them up and he put half of the animal over here, half over there, and he passed through. The fire passed through these parts. It's a covenant of the parts. Brit Bein HaBetarim, between the sections. And just like when Abraham made the covenant with God, he went through the parts, God went through the parts, so too when the Jews made a covenant with God, they went through the sea, which went parted half on this side and half on that side. So the seventh day of Pesach is part of the covenant. Splitting the sea is part of the covenant. Suggestion I'd like to make. So then if we think that indeed the Seder is a making of a covenant, if covenants are made by splitting, so it's interesting to note that we do some splitting at the Seder. What do? We cut the matzah in half. Yachatz, one piece of the Seder, is to cut it in half. Why? So there are technical reasons. We want to have a whole bread, but on the other hand, we want to have broken bread to remember the bread of poverty, the lechem oni. So we cut it in half. You need part of it for now, part of it for later. But perhaps also, there's a notion of the symbolism of cutting something. When you make a deal, you cut it. When Jacob and Laban made a deal, they put up a pile of rocks, and they said, no one can cross this. Now the Jews also, they put the blood on two sides of the door, and on the top, so that's a little different to put it on top, but also two sides of the door, and they could not pass through. Like Jacob's covenant, you can't pass here. The blood's on the door, and you cannot pass through that spot. Similarly, one might suggest, and just to v'derech ha'efshar, I'm just making a suggestion, that's why we cut the Hallel in half. Usually, you either say the Hallel, don't say the Hallel. You might say part Hallel, the whole Hallel, but you never cut it in half, saying part of it over here, and then you take a break, and then you do the other half. Never do that. But at the Seder, we do that. Start the Hallel, and then we stop, eat the meal, and then we say the other half. Why? Because the meal is the covenant. The meal is in the middle of the two cups on this side, two cups on that side. You split it in the middle, and you come through with the covenant. When you make a covenant, you split it through the middle. So think about that. At the Seder, we're not just getting together with the family and having a meal. We are renewing the covenant with God. Covenants are renewed by eating and drinking. Covenants are renewed by splitting things in half. And at our Seder, we do a lot of eating and drinking, and we do a lot of cutting of things in half. Ultimately, Pesach is so important. It's so covenantal that if you don't do it, it's one of the only two mitzvot, the bris itself and the Pesach, which is a bris, that if you don't bring the Paschal Lamb, and today we don't have the Paschal Lamb, there's no temple, but if you had a temple and you were near Jerusalem and you didn't bring the Paschal Lamb, failure to bring the Paschal Lamb gets you cut off from your people, like eating on Yom Kippur. But the only two positive commandments that for what you get cut off, kares, excision, is Pesach and bris. Because when it comes to the bris, if you're not part of the bris, then of course you're cut off from the Jewish people. You're not part of the covenant. So that explains why there's a makeup. When it comes to Pesach, there's a makeup. If you don't do sukkahs, all right, so you couldn't make it. You were in the hospital, you couldn't make sukkahs, okay. So you go to do sukkahs next year. But if you miss Pesach, says the Torah in Parshas Paloscha, you got to do Pesach Sheni. You got to have a makeup Pesach. Why? Because you can't miss the covenant, right? So sometimes, you know, there's something going on in television, going on in the community, and you're tired that night, so you miss it. All right, so you missed it. But if it's the covenant to make you part of the Jewish nation, you can't miss it. So if you missed it, you have to do a makeup and catch it on the second month, because that's how important it is. So let's remember, as we get the family together, as we have a good time, we eat and we drink, and we have wonderful, wonderful Seder meals with our families and all that. Even if you're eating alone and it's not such a great time, but you know that you're keeping the Passover, let's remember that what you're doing is you are establishing covenant. You're passing on that covenant to the children through the form of questions and answers. You will transmit this notion that we are part of a covenant and induct the younger members of the family into that sect that we're part of, that community, that connection with God that we have, that covenant we have with God, that covenantal relationship with God. We're going to renew it, and we're going to bring the kids, the next generation, the following generation, we're going to bring them, God willing, into that covenant. This is very serious matter and a very exciting and fun matter, because covenants are always fun, always eating, drinking. It's a very exciting thing. We're going to be together with God. We're going to be partners with God. We're going to have a covenant and a relationship with God. This is indeed a great simcha. I want to wish everyone a Chag Kasher Sameach, a great and kosher and happy and wonderful Pesach, And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, and thank you all for joining us here at the Baron Hirsch Congregation. Thank you.